Well, over the past few weeks, we've been hearing different aspects from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and this is the fourth one in that series. And, when Jesus spoke about that Sermon on the Mount, he shared some pretty big, ticket items. He spoke about the Beatitudes, how to live a happy life, how to live from a kingdom of God perspective, and how to stress less, how to stand out in the crowd and influence others, he was way ahead of Instagram and TikTok, how to influence others. And, he also shared about, how to relate to God as a heavenly father. And today I want to share around what to me is a really big part of the Sermon on the Mount, and that's simply the Lord's Prayer. And that's where Jesus, he taught the people how to pray. It was a pattern for praying. And he didn't say what to pray, but it was, or what to chant. But it was more like this is how to pray. And the Lord's Prayer, it's very personal. It's still relevant 2,000 years later after he shared it. And whether you've never prayed ever, 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 or whether you've been praying your whole life, I believe that prayer is a pattern for thriving, not merely surviving in a pandemic or any time really. In sickness, in health, in lack or abundance, in times of knowing how to effectively parent teenagers, not knowing how to find a life partner, not understanding your spouse, struggling in lockdowns, prayer is the key to thriving. So I want to just start off with a couple of definitions so we're all on the same page. So when I'm talking about prayer, it's simply a way of us talking with God, not merely to God or at God. It's a conversation. It's a relationship with God. And the definition of a pattern, it means a model or a design, something repeated in a regular way that happens. And when I talk about, that prayer is a pattern for thriving in a pandemic, thriving just means to grow or develop well or vigorously, to prosper and to flourish. And who doesn't want to do that? Who doesn't want to prosper and flourish, especially in a pandemic or any time really? So my big claim today is if you want to grow or prosper or flourish in a pandemic or post-pandemic, repeatedly talking to God is a big key to that. So when I was a kid, I remember saying, bedtime prayers with my parents, and they went something like this, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And that's something obviously that I've remembered, 50 years later in life. Praying to God and talking to God, even though that was a bit rote to start with and repetitive, it still put a pattern into my life that, God is real and God likes us to be talking with him. And it's something that Phil and I, we adapted this with our kids, and we wanted to establish that pattern in our kids' lives of talking to God, of talking to God and, just acknowledging that he's real and he's there for them. And so we used to do a thing with our kids where we would simply just, get our kids to just thank God for things that they were thankful for throughout the day. But then it probably wasn't until, late 2008, when I was almost 40 years old, that the pattern of daily prayer was really established in my life, of talking with God at the beginning of each day and then just, randomly throughout the day. But it was a really, I know as I think back over life, that was a time when that pattern of prayer was really well established. Now, have you ever tried to do something new without being shown or without a pattern to follow or an instruction sheet? Chances are it hasn't ended very well. I know for me that's the case. I remember years ago learning how to cook a pavlova, which is something that I've done, over the years. And my mum used to get me to make them, and then Phil used to get me to make them, and his extended family used to get me to make them. And at the beginning, it was hard. I had to follow the pattern. I had to follow the recipe to get it right. Otherwise, it just didn't turn out. But, you know, like now I can make it from, you know, off the top of my head because, you know, I know that pattern so well in life, and it's just like second nature to me. And, you know, there's many patterns in our lives that we learn from those around us. You know, our language, our choice of words, our beliefs, how we treat people, you know, special traditions that we do in our families, our routines in the morning or, you know, at night when we go to bed. You know, there's so many patterns, and some of those patterns we learn from others. And sometimes we're the ones imprinting patterns into someone else's life. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was sharing about the kingdom of God and the way that it's different to our natural earth. And in Matthew 6, Jesus was talking to his disciples and the crowd about how to pray. And then he shared with them a pattern for praying, which we know today as the Lord's Prayer. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Lord's Prayer has been something that's been recited at the start of each sitting of the Victorian Parliament since 1918. And sadly, you know, this tradition has been under threat even just quite recently. But, you know, regardless of that, the pattern and prayer, it will always be relevant for us personally, whether it's recited in Parliament or not. And the Lord's Prayer, it goes simply like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And that's simply the pattern of prayer that Jesus was wanting to teach and reveal and show the disciples who he was talking to and the crowd of people that had gathered there as well. So I want to just break this down simply, you know, just line by line and very briefly as well, because I don't have too long. So, you know, Jesus starts off by saying, this then is how you should pray. Again, like I said, it's a pattern of how to pray, not exactly what to pray. He was sharing a model. It's not something for us to just chant over and over, but it's a really good place for us to as a foundation, you know, in our prayer life. So the first major line is, you know, our Father in heaven. The first time God is introduced to the people, the crowd, the disciples as a father. You know, prior to this, God was known to the Israelites in different ways, and they had stories and traditions and feasts, you know, to help them remember God and who he was. And, you know, to them, he was God the creator. He made the heaven and earth. He was God the judge, you know, God the deliverer. He was God their provider. He was God their healer. But this is the first time that Jesus introduced God as a father to the people. And when he started sharing in this prayer, it talks about our Heavenly Father. It's not just Jesus' Father. It's not just my Father or your Father, you know, but it's our Heavenly Father, you know, collectively. You know, our Heavenly Father is perfect. You know, he's unlike any earthly father. And I know a couple of really good ones too, you know, but our Heavenly Father is perfect. You know, he's not selective in who he chooses to love, or who he chooses to be a father to. And, you know, when we're praying to our Father in heaven, we're praying to him from a position of being incredibly loved, you know, which is something I'm super grateful for. Our Heavenly Father, he loves every person. And, you know, nothing you can do can make him love you anymore. And on the flip side, there's nothing you can do that will ever make him love you any less. The God's love for us, it's unconditional and it's endless. And I could go on about, you know, God's love, because it does. It goes on and on and on and on. And I've got so many examples of where God has revealed his love to me. And I hope you've got lots of examples too of where God has revealed his love to you. You know, when you love someone, you want to spend time with them. And God's the same. He longs to spend time with us. He loves spending time with us. He's never too busy to spend time with us. Now, he doesn't get distracted by, you know, TV or tiredness or sickness or work. He just always wants to spend time with us. You know, you're number one in his eyes. I'm number one in his eyes. And he wants to spend time with us and reveal his love for us. Jesus then goes on to say, hallowed be your name. When we talk with God, it's important for us to remember who God is, names and his character and what he's done, and then just to be grateful, to take a moment and just reflect and be grateful. And as I said before, you know, God was known by many names to the Israelites, to his disciples and the crowd he was speaking to. And, you know, when you read back through the Old Testament, and particularly the Psalms, it speaks of God as being a refuge, a strong tower, a shield, a fortress, a rock, deliverer. It's all very strong sounding, even an avenger. And I loved on Matt's background on his wall, he had the Avengers, you know, and God is our avenger. You know, he's our shepherd. He leads and protects us. He is our savior. He's a trainer. He's our healer. He's a counselor. He's our wisdom. He's our comforter and strength, our best friend. Our rescuer. He's faithful. He's a lamp. He's perfect. He's merciful. He's kind. He's patient and loving. Now, I've got a question for you guys, and I'd love you to put something in the comments. What name or characteristic of God stands out to you at this point of time in the pandemic? So many different names and characteristics of God, and I look forward to, you know, at the end, just, you know, going through some of these and just being encouraged by the different characteristics of God and how he's revealed himself to you in this pandemic and at this point of time. When we talk with God, it's important for us to just, you know, tell him of our love and our gratitude for him. You know, Phil often tells me he loves me. And then sometimes he randomly tells me, just out of the blue, he goes, hey, I really love you. And I go, why? You know, what are you thinking of in that particular moment? And he always laughs because he goes, why do I have to be thinking of anything? But, you know, I like to know when it's so random, you know, what it is. And he'll often go, oh, you know, I just love it that, you know, you really care for me. Or, you know, something along those sort of lines. Or I just love it, you know, you're my best friend. You're always there. You know, and it's just so special that he can actually articulate, you know, what it is that he loves about me. And, you know, in the same way, you know, God knows why we love him, but it's important for us to remember and to express why we love him and what we're grateful for. You know, I appreciate it when people around me genuinely see who I am and what I've done, and they let me know. When we thank God for what he's done, just like Matt did before, you know, and just shared about God's goodness in his life, it builds our faith, and not only our faith, but, you know, other people's faith for the next time that we are requesting something from God. You know, when we think of who God is, why would we not want to have a relationship with him, you know, a daily relationship with him? The next part of the Lord's Prayer, that pattern prayer, is your kingdom come. When we understand that, you know, God is a heavenly Father and who loves us and his plans are for us, they're for good, you know, our response should easily be just one of love and trusting him. And, you know, sometimes that's hard. It is hard for me too sometimes to trust him. But, you know, again, there's a great scripture in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and probably a lot of you know it, and it says, you know, I know the plans I have for you. This is God saying this to Jeremiah and to the people. Their plans to prosper you, not to harm you, you know, plans to give you hope and a future. You know, and even in difficult times, which we're in at the moment, when we're uncertain about our future, our plans and our dreams, and we can't even be planning for the future, you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds for us and our family, but still we can, you know, hold on to the promises of God. And, you know that his plans are for us and not against us. They're choosing to love God and allow his plans to outwork in our life, it's a daily choice. sometimes even an hourly choice. Sometimes it's easier than others. And, you know, when we pray this line about your kingdom come, we're really saying, Heavenly Father, may your kingdom come into my life. May your kingdom come into my family. May your kingdom come into my workplace, you know, whatever it is. May your kingdom come. And in Matthew 6:33, we heard this in one of the other series, in the Sermon on the Mount series, and it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be given to you. And as we continue to seek God's plans first in our life and his kingdom coming into our life, he's going to take care of all the things that worry us or stress us. And he promises that. And what he promises, you know, he'll do. Now, the next line is, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is really closely related to your kingdom come. And this is where we surrender. We give over our choice, our will, our thoughts, our best plan to God, our plan A, our plan B, our plan C. You know, we give them all over to God and we just say, have your way in my life. And this is where we give God our pain, our heartache, our stress, our worries. And in return, I love this, in return, you know, he gives us peace and joy, and he heals our broken heart, and he gives us strength and strategies for whatever situation we're facing. And we know, you know, we know his ways and his plan are better. And, you know, as we give over our will, there's this transaction that occurs, a replacement happens. There's a swap that occurs, you know, our junk for his goodness, our junk for his will. His plan. You know, Jesus faced a pretty tough time in the Garden of Gethsemane. And, you know, he knew the future. He knew he was about to go, you know, onto the cross and go through incredible pain and eventually die. You know, and in that moment, he so bravely, again, being the pattern son, he says in his prayer, you know, not what I will, but what you will, God, my Heavenly Father. That must have been such a tough conversation for him to have with his father. But, you know, in that exchange of will, you know, God gave his son strength to keep going, and to keep doing the father's will, which resulted, you know, in freedom for us. Now, here's something you might be able to relate to for those of you who have ever been involved with children. You know, have you ever known a toddler or a child who's been cooped up inside? They get a bit restless, you know, and they don't want to stop watching TV or playing their game or whatever. And you know, as a parent, as a carer, that the best thing for them is to go outside and use some of that pent-up energy. But, you know, sometimes it's a struggle of wills. You know, the child wants to stay in and keep doing what they're doing. But, you know, as that parent or carer, you know what's best. And as they exchange their will for yours, and you might need a bit of, you know, sometimes there's a bit of coercion that goes on, but regardless, you know, as they exchange their will for yours and they go outside and they run around and they use their imagination and kick a ball or climb a tree, whatever, you know, they actually enjoy themselves, and then, you know, life is actually better for them and for you. And that's a little bit like what it's like with God. You know, he knows his way. He knows us way better and what's best for us, way better than what we do. And, you know, when we give over our will and our choice and we take on his, our life turns out so much better. So the line where it says about give us today our daily bread, this is where we acknowledge and we trust God to meet all our needs. Now, here's another question I'd love to hear from people, and we'd love to discuss this and just share a bit at the end if we've got time. What is an answer to a prayer need that you have had? I could think of many, but I won't go into that, again, for time's sake. But, you know, God cares about the big things and the little things in our lives. And, you know, again, while he knows all things, I believe he enjoys just hearing us talk with him and looking to him as the source and answer to our needs. When I was a little girl, I used to pray, and I, you know, prayed the Lord's Prayer. I used to think of this, that, you know, give us this day our daily bread. It actually meant food and bread on the table. And then, as I got a little older, I thought it meant maybe finance to buy the bread or to buy whatever it is that, our needs. But, today I've come to realize it means anything I need. That daily bread, it's anything I need emotionally or physically, mentally, even spiritually. It means love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, which I definitely need, It means, wisdom and clarity of thought and gratitude and contentment. Sometimes it means strength or healing. Sometimes it means compassion, or showing honor to others. Sometimes it really does mean finance and resources. And other times it means rest, because that's what we need at that point in time. But again, God knows our needs, and as a good and kind and loving, Heavenly Father, He wants us to depend on Him for our needs, our daily needs. But there is a bit of a flip side to this as well. God gave us all our needs, for the rest of our life in one day. We'd have no need to trust Him for tomorrow or the next day. And so that's why God wants us to ask for our daily needs, because He wants us to be reliant on Him. And forgive us our sins. This is where we admit and confess our faults and sins, and we ask God to cleanse us and remove our sin. God doesn't want us feeling guilty or ashamed. In fact, He's the only one who can remove those feelings from our life, and He wants us to be free. Now, in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins to God, He can always be trusted to forgive us and take away our sins. But God, while He knows our sin and faults, He's just waiting for us to acknowledge them and confess them so He can cleanse them and set us free. Following on from that, Jesus goes on to say, as we also forgive those who sin against us. Now, this part of the pattern prayer is where we release those who have hurt us. And God forgiving our sins in the line before is actually conditional on us forgiving those who have wronged us. And, forgiving someone who's hurt me, who's hurt you, it doesn't ever justify or excuse their behavior. It merely just releases me, it releases you, us, from the pain, they've caused us. And I've had a lot of practice forgiving people in my 50-ish years of life on earth. And I feel like I'm quite a forgiving person, but something I have to really work hard at, is forgiving others if they've hurt my kids or my hubby. Something I've learned over the years is when I really want to pray for God to have vengeance on someone who's wronged me or them in that way, that's when I know I need to pray in the opposite way and just pray a blessing over them. And it's just something that has worked for me over the years. And as I do this, my heart shifts and I can let go of the vengeance that I want God to, smite them with, and just allow forgiveness to flow towards that person. And God just really wants us to forgive others in the same way that He's forgiven us. And, as we forgive, we're actually releasing ourselves from the pain. And it's our choice, if we release ourselves from the pain or if we keep reliving it. But the next line is, and lead us not into temptation. Now, God is not the one who leads us into temptation. But, as we pray this line, in essence, we're asking God to just guard our hearts and protect us. And, we have patterns in our lives, being human, that bring us harm and others harm. And, when we pray this, we're saying, God, don't let me go down that pathway. We're asking God to teach us new patterns and to lead us down a new pathway, away from habits that cause us problems. Temptation's not only doing bad things. Sometimes it's about not doing the right thing. Sometimes our own comfort can cause others pain. Sometimes, not doing the right thing, it can look like ignoring someone else who's in pain or in need. Or not doing the right thing could be just doing things that are unimportant or going, I'll get to that later, but later never happens. Lead us not into temptation is asking God to help us do the right thing at the right time, not just staying away from bad things. But deliver us from evil. When we pray this, we're asking God for help. We're acknowledging our reliance on God and his power to help us in a situation, to help us lose our selfishness, to love others and show patience. And the line that says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You know, Jesus ends this pattern of prayer by praising his heavenly Father for the ultimate victory, because, you know, he knows that the kingdom will last forever. And that's the way that he started off the pattern of prayer as well, is just remembering and giving God the glory and hallowing his name. So, you know, as we pray this pattern prayer during a pandemic or at any time in our life, it helps us remember that God is with us. You know, we're very much loved by our Heavenly Father. You know, we remember God's names and who he is, and we're asking for God's kingdom to come in our life and for us to hand over our will, you know, and let God's will happen. We're acknowledging, you know, that we're trusting God on a daily basis. And we're remembering to admit our faults and ask God to forgive us and releasing others and forgiving them as well. You know, this is most certainly a prayer and to build our lives on, and it's a pattern, you know, for us to follow. So, you know, I want to finish at the very end by just praying this prayer together. But I'm just going to invite, you know, Brad and Maddie back to join me. I want to just encourage you all this week, you know, as to use this pattern of prayer every day as you talk to your Heavenly Father. You know, whether you've been praying for 2 years or if praying's still new to you, you know, God wants to meet with us every day as a Heavenly Father, and he's got so much in store for us. But there's only one way to find out, and that's to talk to him. And that is the way to thrive in a pandemic and beyond. So there we go.
What a word. Thank you. Yeah, that's powerful. Just being reminded of God's name and his nature and who he is, it puts us into position of who we are. And thank you. That was beautiful. And the comments, so many
Sorry.
Doesn't matter where we put little Ivy, you can hear her. But the comments that are coming through, just reminding us of who he is and how he's affected us is powerful. So yeah, thank you. Love the comments coming through talking about how when we receive the pattern, the patterns of God can be imparted to others as well.
Yeah.
So, great. We're about to hit our time capacity. So there's so many comments there. Thank you guys for engaging and participating. We'll read through them. I'm sure Leanne will read through them.
Yes, I can't wait.
In there for the intercession team. But would love for you to pray with us and finish in prayer.
Yeah. So how about we just all, you know, just pray this Lord's Prayer together out loud. The words are going to pop up on the screen so you can see them. So let's just start. You know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.